CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The Spirit of America. It is a website, but it is also a man. I welcome Jim Hake, the founder and CEO of Spirit of America, who's just returned from Ukraine conflict and will report on his work there and his work of his organization. But first, origins. Jim, a very good evening to you. Our common friend, David Davenport, introduced me to your work, and I'm very pleased to speak to you, especially because you've come back from the war zone. Your founding of Spirit of America, what was your thought, Jim? What was the mission starting, and what is the mission today? Good evening to you.
John, thank you. It's great to be with you. And I founded Spirit of America 20 years ago, motivated by the attacks of 9/11. And I had a simple idea, which was to do what I could do and what other citizens could do to stand up for what America stands for in the world. And America is the beacon of freedom and democracy in the world. American leadership is important to people throughout the world, and the world is a better and safer place because of America. So after the attacks of 9/11, I wanted to do something to stand up for what America stands for.
You tell an origin story, or one is told, of Afghanistan and the wife of an officer serving in Afghanistan who was seeking school supplies, is my memory, but there might have been more, for the people of Afghanistan and the border area, is my memory. And you learned about this, and you learned that, I think, the school supplies were being supplied by his wife, who was sending them to theater. What does that mean, Jim, and how did your organization then take that news and turn it into what it is today?
Well, when I started the organization, I didn't have any experience with the government or military at all. And today, Spirit of America works alongside U.S. troops all over the world, U.S. diplomats and State Department personnel as well, to provide private assistance in support of what they are trying to accomplish to defend America, to promote and advance America's values around the world. So, and that was what I was hoping to do when I started the organization, but I didn't have any idea really how to do that. And then one night, I stumbled upon this National Geographic show that told the story of a U.S. Special Forces team in Afghanistan. And the scene that actually caught my eye were American soldiers playing baseball with Afghan boys and girls. And, you know, it's an eye-catching scene. And this Special Forces sergeant told the story of how this came to be. And, you know, he and one of the other soldiers on his Special Forces team had taken over baseball mitts to play catch in their free time. And the kids got into it. So the sergeant, Jay Smith, called his wife back home on a satellite phone and said, honey, can you send over enough bats, balls, and mitts so these kids can play a game? And she raised money from family and friends and bought the gear and sent it over. And I thought, you know, this is just great because these soldiers are really our frontline ambassadors around the world. And anything we as Americans can do to help them better demonstrate who Americans are and what we stand for, well, that would be great. And, you know, he did this with a baseball, which, you know, was about the most unexpected thing you could do in a village in Afghanistan, as you can imagine. He did that on his own initiative. No one told him to do that. And so I thought, well, that is the initiative and that kind of entrepreneurial initiative is so much the fabric of the Spirit of America. Maybe we could do this on a larger scale. So I tracked down Sergeant Smith, met with him at Fort Bragg back, you know, about 20 years ago. And he explained that the small scale assistance that Americans provided to him that helped him build relationships and trust and goodwill with villagers in that village in Afghanistan saved lives. And he explained that because of the relationships that he and his team had built with the villagers in this area, that the villagers on their own formed a night watch patrol to protect our soldiers from Al-Qaeda that had been crossing the Pakistan border at night and firing rockets on their camp. And when he told me that, the idea of Spirit of America went from good idea to really important idea. And I knew, knowing what was at stake, that I would never forgive myself if I heard him explain how it would save lives of our servicemen and women and not get it going. So I got the organization started after that.
And the organization is for non-lethal assistance, which would be baseball bats. My memory was education as well, but there's education today. Non-lethal assistance, is that correct? From the beginning, you're not sending over shotguns.
It's all, and it's a range of assistance. It's all non-lethal assistance. We you know, the government provides weapons and ammunition and all that sort of thing. Spirit of America is a privately funded nonprofit that provides a range of assistance to support what our country is trying to accomplish around the world, what our troops and diplomats are trying to accomplish around the world. And it varies based on what is needed in any place, any point in time. So in Ukraine today, we are focused on providing non-lethal assistance to support Ukraine's efforts to defend their country, defend their freedom and democracy. And what we're doing in other parts of the world is different than what we're doing in Ukraine. But it's all about bringing what the American people and American private sector can do to complement and support what our troops, diplomats, and country are trying to accomplish around the world.
There are many opportunities around the world to talk about where Spirit of America is working, but I want to go to what I learned from you and Matt Dimmick on a new video that you made on your return from Ukraine, because it gives a good example of how it works at the DOD. Weapon systems are in the arsenal. They're in the warehouse. They shipped, they get to Ukraine, they go into action. But there are things that are not in the arsenal. And it struck me as I smiled a lot when Matt's telling the story, because there came to be a communication system that required, on the Ukrainian end, cell phones and tablets. They're not in the arsenal. They're not in a warehouse anywhere. They have to be purchased. And these are critical nodes for intelligence sharing in Ukraine. But it would take, I think Matt said, months, maybe years, to appropriate the money, to have it spent, to have it vetted and finally shipped out. What did you do, Jim, instead?
Well, what you just described, John, is a really important way for people to understand what we do. And people understand that there are gaps in public education and a role for private philanthropy, and there are gaps in health and a role for philanthropy. There are gaps in national security. There are things that need to be done that government can't do, because government can't do everything. And Spirit of America fills those gaps. So in the specific situation you just mentioned, there was a need, and we work very closely in partnership with U.S. military personnel. And we have an unprecedented partnership with the U.S. military based on a unique agreement with the U.S. Department of Defense that allows the military to collaborate with Spirit of America to share information, to receive assistance, provide logistical support, all that sort of thing. So in this case, our U.S. military partners said, we need, or the Ukrainians need, more accurately, the Ukrainians need cell phones and tablets to operationalize an information sharing network that will allow them to get real-time information to their soldiers on the front lines to help them eliminate Russian weapon systems. And the Russian weapon systems, of course, only have one purpose, and that is to kill Ukrainians. And it's to kill Ukrainian soldiers and kill Ukrainian civilians. You know, Russia targets schools and hospitals regularly for no military purpose whatsoever, but just with the goal of erasing Ukraine. So what was needed in this case were about $600,000 of cell phones and tablets to make this information sharing real-time network come alive. And it was a pilot test to do that. So we used $600,000 to buy the cell phones and tablets. About 3-4 weeks later, it was activated. And what we have learned is, because of the increased effectiveness of Ukrainian commanders and troops on the front lines, fighting throughout Ukraine, that $600,000 enabled the Ukrainians to eliminate $2.1 billion in Russian weapon systems. And for investors listening, that's a 3,500 times ROI in 12 weeks.
You're very generous, Jim, but you've left out the part that's the deep irony. The U.S. has $600,000. It has it in the petty cash drawer right there at their desk. But in order to spend that $600,000, you go through protocols that take years. And even then, you can't be assured that they'll be shipped to the right place. Is all that correct, Jim?
Yes, that's right. And part of what it is, John, is really a reflection of the democratic process, that there are checks and balances on how government money gets spent. And for the most part, we're all really happy with those checks and balances. You know, we have, 535 members of Congress and everybody gets a say, right? And they represent tens of millions of Americans. So there are checks and balances. And what is missing in those government systems is the speed and the flexibility that Americans can bring to bear in these situations. And the question, you know, I get asked a fair amount about different things that we do because we work in partnership with U.S. military and State Department personnel. So people ask, well, why, you know, whatever it is, you know, in this case, cell phones and tablets, why can't government do that? And there's an answer to it. And we have an answer every time. We don't spend our money on things that government can spend it on. But it's also the wrong question. And the question that we need to look at as Americans in these situations where there's so much at stake, and the question we ought to ask is, well, how do we win? And you would say, well, okay, let's take everything our government can do. You know, the commitment of our troops and the sacrifice of our troops and the everything they have that they can do. And let's add to that what the American people can do. And that is, of course, better than a government-only solution. And as Americans, we have never accepted and never should accept that a government-only solution is the best we can do as Americans. And that's what we bring is the rest of America into the game.
One more example I got from your YouTube with Matt. Captain's training course. What is that, Jim?
Well, this was a training program that Spirit of America provided the seed funding for, the initial funding to get it off the ground. And it was in partnership and in support of the Ukrainian Territorial Defense Forces. So the Territorial Defense Forces in Ukraine are civilian soldiers, you know, business people, students who joined the war effort after Russia's invasion, large-scale invasion in 2022. And so they came from all walks of life and didn't have military background, didn't have military training. And yet they're thrown into a full-scale war. And what was needed, a captain in both the U.S. military and the Ukrainian military is a really important center of gravity. A captain commands the troops on the front lines. If they're a company commander, they command and responsible for about 100 soldiers. So the effectiveness of a captain to be able to command those 100 soldiers is both about defending Ukraine and saving a lot of Ukrainian lives if they're more effective. So we provided the seed funding to get a training program off the ground and test to see if it worked to help the Territorial Defense Forces better protect their soldiers and make them more effective. And from that it was successful. It was a great pilot effort, and it's been expanded, you know, from captains. I think there have been 435 captains that have been through this course to date, and that represents, you know, another you know, 100x number of troops that have been helped by this. And what we heard in Ukraine on this last visit was that training is absolutely saving lives and helping Ukraine's defend the country.
I'm speaking with Jim Hake. He is the founder and CEO of Spirit of America. The website is self-explanatory, but we've been explaining again anyway, because we're talking about the Ukraine conflict, which is one of the efforts the Spirit of America is involved with, but it's the one that is most critical now. And when we come back, why do the Ukrainians fight? Why does NATO support the Ukrainian fight? What does it mean for America today? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.